Ja. Okay, so we're starting a brand new sugya, although we'll see Be'ezus Hashem in the continuation of the sugya. It's very much connected to the last sugya. We're going to be dealing a lot in Mitzvah Hashem this week with a very central topic of whether one has to be a rasha of momoin or any aveira in order to postulate us. This is something that we've been referring to, but we're going to tackle it head on in Mitzvah Hashem later on in the week. But the Gemara begins with an introduction of Eid Zoimim. Eid Zoimim. So now let's just remind ourselves of a very important point of Eid Zoimim. We've come across the parash of Eidim Zoimim on several occasions. As we know, Reuven and Shimon come to Beis Din. They testify about whoever it may be that he was Mechalel Shabbos and he's Chayev Skila. Levi and Yehuda then come to Beis Din and say, "What do you mean? How could you possibly have testified that he was Mechalel Shabbos in Ramat Bet Shemesh on Parashas Yisro, Shabbos afternoon? Shabbos afternoon, Parashas Yisro, you were with us in Netanya, so you could not possibly have been in Bet Shemesh." So now Reuven and Shimon have been disproven, they've been made into Edim Zoimim, and they have to now suffer the very punishment that they were trying to inflict onto this poor individual. That's basically the parasha of Edim Zoimim. Now, we must point out, and we'll see, the Gemara is going to mention this, we're going to see this in a moment or two, that there is a tremendous chiddush in the whole parasha of Edim Zoimim. There is something which essentially is a very big chiddush. And what is that? What would be, just in order to make this more understandable, what would be in the following case? Imagine if two Edim came to Beis Din and they testify about a particular topic, whatever it may be, whether it's testifying that somebody's done an Aveira, whether it's testifying about the new moon, whatever it may be. 5 minutes later, in walks another two Edim and they testify the exact opposite. The exact opposite. So, what do Beis Din have now? Reuven and Shimon saying one thing, Levi and Yehuda contradicting them. What is the halacha in that case? So, we all understand, obviously, we cannot act upon either of the Edos because they contradict each other, and we have no way of knowing if the first group are correct or the second group are correct. This is called hakosha of Edos. When Edom deny each other, they cancel each other. So, basically, it's status quo. Stalemate. There's nothing that Beis Din can do. Two Edim are saying A, the other two Edim are saying the exact opposite B, so we just do nothing. If that's the case, do we all appreciate that Edim Zoimim, therefore, is a tremendous chiddush? Because if the first two Edim, Reuven and Shimon, say that we were in Bet Shemesh for Shabbos, Parshas Yisro, and we saw Ploini being Mechalel Shabbos, and Levi and Yehuda now say, "Excuse me, you are not in Bet Shemesh, you are with us in Netanya." So, what have we got essentially? Reuven and Shimon claiming they were in Bet Shemesh, Levi and Yehuda claiming they were in Netanya. So, I would have thought that essentially that should be a stalemate. So, I understand, obviously, we cannot put to death this Pliny, whom they're accusing of Chilul Shabbos because it's two versus two. That I understand. Stalemate. But even if it's stalemate with regard to him, why is it not stalemate also with regard to Reuven and Shimon? Reuven and Shimon adamantly claim that they were in Bet Shemesh for Shabbos. Levi and Yehuda claim, no, they were not. They were in Netanya. Okay, so I have no evidence, Lakan or Lakan. It's their word against their word. So why don't I say that just like I cannot put Pliny to death because it's a stalemate, so too neither can I put Reuven and Shimon to death either because that's a stalemate as well. And the Gemara calls this therefore a chiddush. The Gemara says therefore this is a chiddush. Edim Zoimim is a chiddush. It does not essentially comply with the regular normal rules of Eidos, which is whenever I have two versus two, it's a stalemate. Here I do not say that because essentially I've got two versus two. I've got Reuven and Shimon saying that we were in Bet Shemesh for Shabbos. I've got Levi and Yehuda saying, no, you were in Netanya for Shabbos. So you ask Beis Din, what is the truth? Essentially, I would have expected them to have said, I have no idea. They claim they were in Beit Shemesh. Others claim they were in Netanya. So it's their word against their word. I have no idea. All of a sudden, the Torah says, no, we believe the second group of Edim and Levi and Yehuda who are testifying that Reuben and Shimon were in Netanya. We believe the second group of Edim, the first ones are made Zimamin, and we actually put them to death, and we do not consider it a stalemate. Now, you may say that actually there is an element of logic in this. It's not an absolute chiddush, because Reuben and Shimon are testifying about themselves. They're not testifying about something else. It's not just objectively we say X happened and you say Y happened. Reuben and Shimon are testifying about themselves. We are in Beit Shemesh for Shabbos, and others are saying not like that. But either way, the Gemara calls it a chiddush. And if it's a chiddush, we therefore have to tread very carefully. What does that mean, we have to tread very carefully? So let's now see the Gemara with that introduction having been made. So the Gemara is the last word on Daf Chof Vav Amud Beis. Itmar. Says the Gemara, Eid Zoymim. You've got an Eid Zoymim. Oh, wow, Rami Shazelik is joining us. Or trying to.
From the hospital?
I assume so. Rami Shazelik, you're with us? He's trying to get through. Rabbi Yehuda, are you letting him? You're on mute.
I admitted him.
Okay, Ramesh Zelig, I hope you're with us.
He doesn't have his camera or his mic turned on.
No, okay, but I hope he's with us and hope he's feeling well. Ramesh Zelig, I hope you're with us, and it's great that you're. Oh, wow, Ramesh Zelig, great to see you.
Thank you.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wow, we were just mentioning that you were in hospital. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Okay.
Wow, tremendous, tremendous that you're with us. Okay.
I'm going to try to stick with you.
Okay, you see how you feel. We made a brief introduction today. We're learning about...
I'm going to go off a video if you don't
mind. Okay, yeah, whatever's best for you. Either video or audio or best, whatever, or both, whatever's best.
Okay.
So we've made our brief introduction about an Eid Zoymim, the parasha of Eidim Zoymim, and as mentioned, Eidim Zoymim is a tremendous chiddush that we are believing the second group of Eidim as opposed to the first. So look at the top line of the Gemara, Eid Zoymim. We have a tremendous machlokes between Abaya and Rava. Abaya Omar Lamafreya, who nifsal, he is now posel retroactively. The Rava Omar, no, Mikanu Lahaba, who nifsal, is only possible from now onwards. What does that mean, retroactively or from now onwards? So look at the top Rashi. Eid Zoymim. Heyid B'nissan. What happens if an Eid Zoymim testified, let's say, in Chodesh Nissan? But vahuzam betishri al edus zu. But he was only made into an eid zoymin 6 months later concerning that testimony that he offered in Chodesh Nisan. Remember, if two eidim come to be mazim, the first group of eidim, they do not need to come immediately. Maybe Rami Shazel, you want to go on mute? There's some background interference a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
No problem. So, Eidim Zoymimin, the Mazimin, which is the second group, can obviously come at any stage. They don't have to come that day or the next day. So here you have this fellow, Reuven, gave Eidus. And then the Eidim Zoymimin were Mazim him when 6 months later. 6 months later. 6 months later in Chodesh Tishri, Levi and Yehuda enter Beis Din and they say, remember this fellow Reuven who was here 6 months ago? Yes, we do. Well, we would like to testify against him because we want to claim that he's an Eid Zoymim. We cross-examine the Eidim. It turns out they are correct. So now Reuven has just now in Tishri be confirmed as an Eid Zaymeim with regard to the Eidos that he gave in Chodesh Nisan. So the big question is, what happens to all the testimony that he's given from Nisan until Tishri? He might have been in Beis Din every single day testifying about this, that, and the other. Are we going to now say retroactively, I'm very sorry to tell you, it turns out that any Eidos he ever gave in that period, retroactively, he was actually apostle. He's apostle Eidos, he's a liar. And the proof is because he was here once in Nisan. It's true at the moment, it's now Tishri, but it's only just now come to light. He was here at Pesach time in Nisan and he gave Eidos, which has transpired to be totally false. And if that's the case, he's apostle Eidos. And if he's apostle Eidos, so everything he's testified about since then is all going to be disqualified. That is the machloikas between Abaya and Rava. So look again at the Gemara top line. Eid Zaymin, Abaya Omar Lamafreya Hu Nifsal. That he is actually Posel Lamafreya in retrospect. That means every Eidos that he's testified about in the interim period is all going to be cancelled. Whoops. Is all going to be cancelled. Have a look at the top Rashi. Eid Zaymim Heid Benissan. He initially gave Eidos in Nisan, but Vuhuzam Betishri, he was only made into an Eid Zoymeim in Chodesh Tishri al Eidos Zu. So the opinion of Abaye is Lamafreya, call Eidos, all testimony, Sheheyed, that he testified, Me Nisan Ve'elach, from Nisan and onwards, Psulin is all possible. It all has to be now uprooted. Why? Sheharei, because Misheheyed Eidus Zu, because ever since he testified this testimony in Nisan, even though unfortunately I did not know about it at the time, but I do now, it turns out, Hurasha. So it's true, at the time I accepted the Eidus because I was ignorant, I didn't know he's a Rasha. But it turns out that he is a Rasha, because he gave false testimony, he's just been proved to be an Eid Zaymeim. So therefore the opinion of Abaye is every testimony in Nisan and Iyar and Sivan and Tammuz and Av and Elul all the way to Tishri, it's all cancelled. What about Rava? Says the Gemara on the second line, no. Rava Omar Mikano Lahabohu Nifsal. He is only possible from now onwards, says Rashi, one word, Mikano Lahabohu Mishehuzam, only going forward from when he was made into an Eid Zaymin, which means in Chodesh Tishri, but all the Eidos in the interim, whether it is in Nisan or Iyar or Sivan, etc., etc., that will remain standing. Now, of the two opinions, and the Gemara is about to explain both, which opinion do we understand more easily? Obviously, the opinion of Abaye. Abaye will make perfect sense, and the Gemara immediately says this. Abaye Omar. Now the Gemara explains both sides of the coin. Abaye Omar. Lamafreya hu nifsal. Lamafreya hu nifsal. As mentioned, that he is disqualified in retrospect, retroactively, everything going back all the way to Chodesh Nisan. Why? Me'idna, from the time, the Ashid, that he was giving testimony, Rasha, it turns out he was a Rasha. It's true, I happened not to know about it at the time. Okay, but it's now come to light. But it turns out that from the time he ever began giving testimony, he was a Rasha. V'ha-Toyra Omra, and the Torah has said, Al Toshes Yodcha Im Rasha, which means Al Toshes Rasha Aid. A Rasha cannot be an aid. So it's transpired, although I didn't know it at the time, that he's a Rasha. So all the Eidos that he gave in the interim period from Nisan onwards is the Eidos of a Rasha. And I'm very sorry to tell you, we cannot possibly accept it, even though we did accept it, but it's all going to have to be cancelled. So that opinion, L'chaira, makes perfect sense. What about Rava? So this is based on the introduction that we said before. Rava Omar Mikan Ulahaba Hu Nifsal. He is only possible from now onwards. Any testimony that he may have given in the interim period from Nisan to Tishri will remain standing. Why? Says the Gemara, because Eid Zaymeim Chidushu. This is what we mentioned before. The whole parasha of Zaymeim has an element of Chidush. Why is it a Chidush? Why is it something that essentially is illogical? My Chosis, what do you see? The Somchas Ahani. What do you see to rely on the second set of Eidim against the word of the first set? Smoich Ahani. Why can't you rely on the first set of Eidim? Like we said before, if two Eidim say that we were in Bet Shemesh for Shabbos, and then two other Eidim say, no, you weren't, were you in Netanya? So we believe the second group of Eidus and the first one are Zaymamin. That is a tremendous Chidush. Why are you relying on the word of Levi and Yehuda any more than on the word of Reuven and Shimon? I'm not saying you should rely on the word of Reuven and Shimon more, but at least it should be a stalemate. So why?
How can you call the Torah, or the Torah says, a chiddush?
Yeah, no, a chiddush means we're going to go with it, but if it's a chiddush, we cannot now apply logic to it. As the Gemara is going to explain, let's continue reading. My chosis, the Gemara is not asking a kasha that it doesn't make sense. We're just saying because it doesn't seem to be logical, of course, we're not arguing what it says in the Torah, but therefore, Ein lecho boy, elo mishas chidushay ve'eilech. And therefore, I can only apply this chidush of the Torah from the moment it comes to light and onwards, even though logic would dictate that I should retroactively disqualify this aid from any aidus that he gave in the last 6 months. It's true, that's what logic would dictate. But the whole parish of Eidim Zaymin seems not to go with logic. Because if I was following mere logic, I would say, excuse me, why am I relying on the second group of Eidim any more than the first? That's what logic would tell me. I would have said, surely it's 2 versus 2, it's a stalemate. And the Torah did not say that for some inexplicable reason, which obviously we're not going to argue with, we're just going to accept it. But if we're going to accept it as a chidush, then we cannot apply logic to it and say, well, if he's now become disqualified, well, then obviously he's disqualified retroactively. No, the whole parasha is a chidush. So therefore, I can only apply that chidush from the moment that the chidush kicks in going forward. What would be, by the way, in a different case? What would be, well, you know what, we'll leave the what will be because we'll see if the Gemara is going to mention it clearly. Yeah, Larry, wanted to say something?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I don't understand Rabbi's opinion because, so the guy 5 months ago says, I saw so-and-so with Chayav Gezel. Okay, 5 months go by, they're based on that, and now all of a sudden new Adam come out, he's an Adam Zomerman. And Rabbi says, oh, from this day forward, you believe him, which means that they're not disqualifying his eidos of because it's a new Russia. They're not disqualifying according to Rabbi his eidos of the guy of Gezel. It doesn't make sense.
We are disqualifying now. We're talking about the interim eidos. There's no question we disqualify that eidos. What about everything in between?
But he's saying it's from now. They're not asking him now. They asked him 5 months ago.
With regard to all other eidos, is he rendered a Russia? On that which they're directly testifying in that particular case, obviously we apply normal rules of Eidim Zayim. And the question is, what about in all the interim cases? In the interim, okay. You render a Russian.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay. The second question is on Abaye. If you're going to disqualify this guy on as a Russia, is he saying that all Eidim he's ever given ever?
No.
Then why shouldn't that be?
No, because if you're going to. We don't know, he's a Russia
just
before.
This case, right? Just maybe on this case, right?
He became a Russia from then onwards.
No, but so if the guy is put disqualified as a Russia, say, you're a liar, you're a Russia. That means that they should look, if he testified in other cases too, he was a Russia.
But not, so before, be, not before. I don't know.
A Russia is a Russia.
Maybe he became a Russia. I have no evidence that he was a Russia beforehand. Could have been the biggest tzaddik in the world, and now the Yetzer Hara got the better of him. So from now on, he's proven, until I hear evidence of change, I have to assume there's no change. So I say initially he was a tzaddik, he's now become a Russia. We've seen early on in the Gemara, a person could be chayza b'tshuva. We saw in the case of Masachet Bekuvia, what you have to do to be chayza b'tshuva. It doesn't mean you're rendered a rasha for the rest of your life. But as long as I hear no change, I assume no change. Okay, so now let's have a look at Rashi. Look at the third line of Rashi at the top. Says Rashi, chidush hu. The whole concept of Eidim Zoymin is a chidush. Shenifsolin shtayim. The very fact that two become posel, bishvil shnayim, as a result of another two, she'oimrim, who say the words, quote unquote, imonu yisem, you are with us. That's a very big chidush. Why should Reuven and Shimon become posel just because Levi and Yehuda claim their posel? It's 2 verses 2. Demai choses, what do you see? The somchas ahani, to rely on Levi and Yehuda, smoich ahani, maybe I should rely on Reuven and Shimon. I mean, after all, it's their word against our word. Ela, so I have no choice but to say, gezeiras hakosuv. It's gezeiras hakosuv. What should I do? It's gezeiras hakosuv. That's what the Torah says. I'm not going to argue the Torah, but at least appreciate that it's a chidush. Hilkoch, therefore, ein lechoboy, Elo mishas chidush ve'elech. Therefore, I can only apply this chidush in as much as the Torah tells me to apply it. I cannot now extend logic to it, which is misha'o shehuzam, from the time that it becomes an eid zomim. I'll say, listen, I don't really understand why it should become possible, but that's what the Torah says. I'm only applying what the Torah says. But to add logic to that and then say, well, logic would surely dictate that he should be considered retroactively possible, I cannot apply logic in a case where clearly logic is not dictating the course b'chlal. Now, says the Gemara, Ikka da'omri. Now you have to bear with me. This is a little bit complicated, very, very tricky. Ikka da'omri. Some explain that actually the machloikus between Rava and Abaya, there's definitely machloikus, no question about it, but some explain that the machloikus is not as radical as you think. Until now, we were learning that what? There's an absolute wall-to-wall machloikus between Abaya and Rava. Abaya says, lemafreya hu nifsal. Every Eidos that this Eid Zomim has testified about in the interim is all possible, and Rava absolutely disagrees. No, it's only from now onwards, says the Gemara. The second version of events is that there is actually not such a big machloikus. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains. Ikedomri, Rava nami kabaya svirelei. Essentially, Rava also agrees to Abaya. Essentially, Rava says to Abaya, you know something? You're right. And really, me ikar hadin, that should indeed be the halacha that he's pasal amafreya. And all the edus he gave in the interim should all be cancelled. That's what essentially should be the din. Okay, so why are you disagreeing with me then? If I'm essentially right, why are you arguing? Umay tam komar. So why, therefore, did he say that mikan ulahabo? If essentially he agrees to Abaya that logic would dictate that if he's turned out to be apostle, then we should undo all of the edus in the interim period. So why are you arguing? Why are you saying, no, it's only from here on in? And the answer is, Mishum Pseida de la Kuchais. Because of the hefsed, the financial loss to any lekuchais, any purchases, which means Bezdin have a very special koyach. We've come across this in other areas, at least in financial matters, to say that even though something really belongs to Reuven, Bez Din have a right to say no. As far as we're concerned, we say that it belongs to Shimon. Bez Din have a koyach like that. So now, imagine that in these last 6 months, this Eid Zoymeim, this fellow Ruvain, who's turned out to be a Rosh Gomo, has actually signed on many financial issues, on many purchases. Many fields were bought. Yisachar to Zvulun, Don to Naphtali, God to Asher. And now all the purchasers are happily sitting in their new owned field. Imagine if we'd have to knock on their door now and say, I've got bad news to tell you. You know that field that you bought 6 months ago or 3 months ago or 4 months ago? Who was the signatory on that shtar? Don't tell me Reuven. Yes, it was Reuven. Well, I've got bad news to tell you. It's just come to light that Reuven is apostle from 6 months ago, which means any eiders that he has testified in the interim is all uprooted. So I've got bad news to tell you. The field that you bought is actually not yours. Because there's no eiders, you have no right to buy it, all cancelled. I'm sorry, all your work that you put in the field goes to nothing. So I'm sorry, just going to have to endure this tremendous financial loss. So Chazal said, this is what Rav is claiming, that because we don't want to cause the loss to Eidip, to all the potential, all these lekuchais, all the purchases, therefore we will uphold the eidus of this possible aid in the last seven, in the last 6 months. So it turns out that the machloikas is not really wall to wall. It's not literally two ends of the spectrum. Because essentially, Rava agrees to Abaya. That if you follow logic, and essentially we should follow logic, you're absolutely right. And this aid should be considered possible from when? Really, not just from now onwards, but essentially, all right, he should be considered possible in retrospect, going back all the way from Nissan. So why do I not say that? Because I feel sorry about the financial loss that's going to be incurred by all those people who have purchased things based on this Eidus. Therefore, Beis Din have the right to uphold the Eidus. All purchases in the interim period remain valid, and we're only going to parcel from now on. Have a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Pseido de lekuchos shelokhu sodois alpiv. If they've purchased fields by mouth, by word of his Eidus, v'chosam b'shtara, and he signed on the shtar any time minisan atishri in the last 6 months, v'adayin loy hoyo yodua, and at that stage it was not yet known shehu posel. It was not yet known. So all these purchases went through innocently, totally ignorant of the fact that this guy Reuven, who is the local aide, busy testifying and signing on everybody's shtar, is a downright Rasha. Nobody knew about it. They could not possibly have known about it. It only came to light 6 months later. So what are we going to tell them? Sorry, all those fields and all those houses and all the property and everything you bought in the last 6 months, it all goes to nothing, because the whole sale was actually null and void. We're not going to do that, and therefore we're only going to parcel this aid from now on in. But essentially, Rava says, logic dictates that Abaya is right. And if that's the case, it turns out that these two versions of the Gemara are very different to each other. According to the first version, Rava disagrees with Abaya absolutely. He disagrees with him absolutely. He says, I'm sorry to tell you, we're not going with logic. You're telling me that logic says he's got to be possible retroactively. We're not going with logic. It's all a big chiddush. Whereas according to the second pshat, it's a much smaller machlokes. Essentially, Rava says to Abaya, you're absolutely correct. I'm only going to disagree with you because of a technicality, because of all the financial loss incurred by those who bought fields based on this testimony, and it turns out it was an eight parcel. Yeah.
So according to that second shot, there was no chiddush here?
Yeah, there is a chiddush, but nonetheless, you're allowed to apply logic to it. According to the second opinion, you're right, it's a chiddush. I never would have said so myself. But once the Torah did say it, okay, so we'll now take it to its logical conclusion and say it should work retroactively. The only reason I don't is because I feel sorry for all the possible purchases.
Okay, so if there is a chiddush, why do you need the second shot?
No, because if it is a chiddush, the question is, can you apply logic to that? According to the first version, you cannot apply any logic to it. Therefore, the halacha is only mikan ulahabo. Whereas according to the second version, you can apply logic to it, albeit a chiddush. Therefore, essentially, it should be lemafreya hu pasul. The only reason I'm saying it's mikan ulahabo is to protect the poor old purchases. Now, the Gemara
is there a reason why the Gemara brings like a financial case? He could have been testifying that someone should be chayv misa.
No, but in that case, there's nothing I could do. It's been done. Too bad. Done. If he testifies somebody who's chayv misa and we put somebody to death, I can't bring him back to life. There's nothing I could do. But if it's a field which I should cancel the whole sale null and void retroactively, well, then I can maintain that. I could say, you know what, keep the field.
So if he caused someone to, let's say, get malchus,
mm-hmm.
Does anything now happen to him? Because we're saying that guy now falsely got malchus.
No, nothing happens to him because you only get malchus for an eid zomim in the case of being a zomim, not for being a rasha. If somebody comes to Beis Din and says, we saw somebody be mechal Shabbos in his chayev skila, and it turns out these eidim were not zomimim, but they were psulim. He was a apostle Eidos. He was a Masachik Makuvia. Or he was a Gazlin. So what happens? So the guy they're trying to put to death obviously will not be put to death. But what happens to the aid? Nothing. He'll get Malchus for giving false testimony. But he doesn't get Skila.
Rebbe, couldn't they in the second shot for Rubber, couldn't they say instead, well, now he's chayav to all these people that he's going to cause nezek. They have to return all the property. He's chayav all the money because of him.
We could have done that. Yeah, we could have done that. Like I said, he's not been made a zaymim. That's what Rabbi Nachum said. He has not been made an eid zaymim on every single case. He's just apostolate. You only get the punishment that you are trying to cause if you're made into an eid zaymim on that particular eidus. But if you are once made an eid zaymim, which now renders you a rasha, so it's true, you're apostolate, but you're not an eid zaymim each time. Nobody has said that you were elsewhere. That's a particular, specific punishment for a case where other Edom said that you were in a different town at the time. So we're going to see Mitzvah Hashem later on in the Gemara. We'll have to see this tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. But we'll see there's acts that actually nafgeminas lahalacha between the two versions, version A and version B. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see this tomorrow. Everybody should join us. And
Rebbe, can I ask one quick question?
Yes, we have a minute.
Would a buyer say that he's chayav all the money because he was apostle aid from the beginning and therefore he?
Good shaila. If he was apostle aid, so it's a big question that goes into the whole area of groma. That means it's a groma. He caused it rather than inflicted it.
He knew he lied in the first case that he was an aid zomei. He then had
regardless. Now that somebody planted the field, I didn't tell you to plant the field. That's a groma. So maybe right. One has to discuss
it. And now a buyer comes back and says, from the beginning you lied, you were an aid, you had no right to be an aid in the other.
All right. Now the purchase went through and the guy plowed $1,000 into the field as a result of the purchase. That's not cool. I damaged him. I incurred damage. That's a groma benizokin. So I would have to look up that halacha whether the apostle aid would have to pay pashas.
But I would have a good case to say you knew you were apostle aid.
That's true. But still, it's only a grom. Okay, we'll have to look at this, Mr. Hashem. Everybody should feel well, Mr. Hashem.
All too.